We are very, very thankful that God has blessed us to assemble and to be in worship this morning. I have truly been inspired by the singing of these songs and the offering of our prayers and just being able to look out and to see all of you and know that all of us have committed ourselves to the cause of God, worshiping Him, acknowledging Him, and living for Him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, allowing His Holy Spirit to indwell us and to inspire us in the midst of a world that truly is going wrong. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world, but there is no uncertainty in Christ. We know what we're about. We know where we're going. And we're allowing the Lord to use us to do what needs to be done to keep His honor and His glory in a world that does not know Him. I'm just thankful for our song leader, for the... I know a little about his background. His daddy was a preacher. And since his daddy was a preacher, he has some preaching in him. And so when he sings, he preaches as well. He's a great, great man, great man. And we have a lot of great men in this congregation. I know I say it every time, but we are a blessed congregation. And even our singles and young people who really have a lot of options make it their business to be here in the worship service every Lord's Day. And I'm inspired by your commitment. You inspire others, and that's what worship is all about. I'm happy. Help me sing one song. Which one I want to sing? Help me sing. That's about the only one I can really just start off. I hope I can get it right. There are something. All right, let's try it one more time.
There are something.
I may not know. Oh, there are some places I can go. I cannot go, but I am sure.
Of this one thing.
That God is real. For I can feel Him in my soul. Oh yes, God is real. Yes,
God is real.
He's so real in my soul. My God is real. For He has washed and made me whole. Like pure gold, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Want to thank all of you who are visiting with us. Please know that you are honored guests. We appreciate your presence. We hope and pray that you will always consider the Greenville Avenue congregation as a place where you would like to be. Our quarterly themes: purposeful leadership. Why? Strong foundation. Second quarter: state of the soul. Why? A disciplined body. Third quarter, witnessing to win. Why? Each must reach and teach others. This quarter, beginning October through December, making the grade, elevating my walk and my talk. Next Lord's Day, we have invited a young man. And when I say a young man, I'm saying a young man who is doing an exceptional job in Charlotte, North Carolina. While bad news comes out of Charlotte, there's some good news in Charlotte. And that good news is the congregation called the Sugar Creek Church of Christ. A young man by the name of Leslie James will be with us, who's doing some innovative things. He's kind of thinking outside of the box, but he's in the doctrine. But he's doing some things that I believe will help open our eyes and help us to move to other levels of growth, possibilities that we could be involved in. So we didn't just randomly choose him. We chose him for a particular reason. And want you to be here next Lord's Day to hear this young man. Very unique, especially when it comes to the education of the congregation. And I just want you to be here. I just want to give you just some encouragement to be here to hear this young man. And I know we're going to be blessed. Today I want to use the topic, making the grade. I want to share some statistics with you. The average 1,000 member congregation has 650 of those members enrolled in Bible study. Of the 650 enrolled in Bible study, only 300 actually attend. Out of the 300 attending, only 60 would have studied their lessons. And 30 of those are the teachers. Only 10 will be involved in one-on-one Bible study out of 1,000. Only 43 will be baptized on an average in that year. 22 members to every one new convert. Only one family out of 100 will be involved in family Bible study. Only 2 out of 10 will read their Bible, typically in a week. 35% do not read their Bibles at all. I think you would agree with me that this truly is not making the grade. I believe that if we were to take a survey of Greenville Avenue and compare the numbers that we have as members and see how many of our members are enrolled in Bible study on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night, I believe we will find that the statistics truly are not that far off, even as it relates to our congregation. I believe that it is clear that a lot more work needs to be done in terms of us educating ourselves, in terms of us really dedicating ourselves to the study of the Word of God. Sometimes we barely make it to worship, let alone Bible class. So I'm not here to rebuke. I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. What I really want to do is to try to inspire us to another level of commitment. We know Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost." But he came back and said, "Teaching them to observe all things, whatever I've commanded you." There is teaching to convert, teaching to make one part of a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there's additional teaching that disciples us, that makes us mature, that allows us to be what God would have us to be. Teaching is very vital to the life of the church. It's very vital to the survival of the church. It's very vital to the thriving of a church. When you think in terms of how do we thrive, we have to come back to the very basic things that we've already talked about. That's leadership, discipline, and saving the souls of men. But we've got to also see that we thrive and we survive by teaching. Hear what Jesus says in John 6:44. After Jesus had fed the 5,000, they looked for him again. I don't want to get into the narrative that deeply, but here's what he says in verse number 44. He said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And watch what he says. "And I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets that they all shall be taught of God." I want to say that again. Jesus said they all shall be what? Taught of God. "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." There is no relationship with Jesus unless we have heard, unless we have learned. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And what? "Learn of me." Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I liken them unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock." Learning is a part of the experience of the church. And I truly believe we are losing some of our young people in the church because we are not spending the kind of energy and the kind of time to really dedicate ourselves to teaching. Some of those who are teaching false doctrine are doing a better job in discipling than we are doing in the Lord's church today. And they're drawing away our young people. Young people of being labeled as wanting to come to church and have a good time. I don't believe that. Not one iota of that is true. Young people want to be challenged and young people want to be taught. I believe that. And I am simply asking us to dedicate ourselves again to the teaching ministry, the religious education that God is calling us to. One of the things that the leadership is studying in our specialized classes that's going very well, and we're coming rapidly to the end of these studies. And that is putting emphasis on teaching and understanding how important our church needs to be educated in what God would have them to be. And I am just so excited. I haven't been this optimistic about this church in a long time. But every time I sit in that class around with those men and I hear these men and I hear our leadership, I hear those who are prospective leaders, and we share, we come out of there so pumped up, so I tell you, it's almost like we just left a pep rally and on our way to a football game, and we plan to win. And I know I need to be preaching, but I'm just trying to show you that we are committed to building this church. We do not feel that we have reached the apex of what God intends for the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. God has so far much more in store for this church. I don't know of another church that has been truly blessed like this church has been blessed. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you fact. God doesn't bless us like this unless God has some expectation out of this church. And I am just so excited. I just want God to let me live long enough to see what it is that God is going to do. We got so many young men. I know I need to go on and preach my lesson. But may I just talk? I'm just telling you that we have some young men who are so dedicated to the word of God in this church who have yet to really come to the potential that God has called them to. And we're going to have to find a way to allow them to spread their wings and be able to use their abilities. And I just believe that unless we have that vision to do that and to work on that, God will not be glorified in the way that he really can be. Now to my lesson. I want to share with you at least three individuals that I believe made the grade. And it's all because teaching made the difference. The first one is a man by the name of Abraham. I want you to know that Abraham was a man of culture and superior intelligence. He came from what the ancients called Babylonia. He came out of Chaldea. But that was an advanced civilization. Well, how do I know? Because when you read Genesis 10 and 11, you will find that this was an area in Mesopotamia where people were so well educated that they were able to build a city, build a tower that would reach into heaven, and God had to come down and stop them. So we're talking about a well educated, a region superior in intelligence. Out of this region, we have the ancient artifacts of what is called the Hammurabi Code. It dates back to beyond 2700 BC. This is at least three centuries before Abraham comes on the scene. When Abraham comes on the scene, now let me share with you what the situation was. When God called Abraham, I know his name was Abram, but I'm on Abraham out of that environment. It was an idolatrous environment. They worshiped idol gods. They did not know the true God, but God called a man by the name of Abraham out of that environment. And God revealed himself to this man. God called this man to come out of Chaldea. Go to a land that I'll show you. And God told him. God told him who he was. And was so effective, it was so effective that Abraham went into another culture, the Canaanite culture, and served as a nomad, moving from place to place. But he was dedicated to the teaching of God Almighty, who had revealed himself to him. The Bible said that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and its maker was God. Now help me to understand, how can a man be involved in an environment like that and still be dedicated to his God? How can a man, listen to what the Bible says about Abraham in Genesis 18, 19, and say, "For I know him." God said, "I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." Abraham was able to teach Isaac. Isaac was able to teach Jacob. Here is a culture. Here is a culture that is in the midst of an ancient culture, an idolatrous culture. But yet they were able to stay faithful to God. And the reason is because of teaching. Teaching made the difference. May I share with you another example? A man by the name of Moses. He's another who made the grade. During the seventh generation of Abraham's descendants, God delivered his people from Egyptian bondage through an Israelite named Moses. Now listen to what the Bible says about Moses. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair. He was a good-looking man. And you know, I'm trying to tell you, Esquire, Hollywood, all of them would have been trying to get this man. You know, they don't put anybody on TV unless they're good looking. Well, no, I've seen some ugly folk on there too. I might as well tell the truth. Amen. Stay in the church. All right. But I like the fact that they're beginning to use some of us, the rest of us, you know. They don't always have to be. Okay, but anyway. But hear what the Bible said. He was exceeding fair, nourished up in his father's house. 3 months, nourished up. Here is a Jew or an Israelite. And you know the story. I don't have to go through the story. But for 3 months, his mother and his father hid him from Pharaoh. And then the Bible says, and when he was cast out, in other words, they had to push him out because he would be discovered, and they put him out on the Nile River. And the Bible says Pharaoh's daughter took him up, and watch this, and nourished him for her own. Two times he was nourished. Don't miss this. Two times he was nourished. He was nourished by his parents. Then he was nourished by Pharaoh's daughter. Here's a young man who was taught in Jewish, his Jewish heritage, his Jewish culture. And then when Pharaoh's daughter got him, she taught him Egyptian culture. Help me to understand. Please help me to understand. How in the world does his Jewish heritage override, take over? Here's a man who made a choice. That I'd rather serve the God of heaven, the God of my forefathers, than to live in pleasure for a season. I'm trying to tell you, teaching made the difference. You don't make those kind of decisions. You don't live through those kinds of cultures and stay faithful to God unless there's some teaching that is involved. My last example, and then I'm through. I almost want to repent, because I gave you too much hope. But the last example is Timothy. Now I want to show you something with Timothy. I want you to go with me to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts, the 16th chapter. And I just believe that there's something that ties all three of these together. And you'll find that all three of them have something in common. Even though they don't stay, they did not live in the same generation, yet there is something unique about them that distinguishes them, that they're drawn together because of a similar experience. And I am trying to share with you and show you that teaching is what made all the difference. The Bible says, then he came to Derbe, talking about Paul and the Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son, watch this, the son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father, watch this, they all knew that his father was Greek. Help me to understand, how can a boy grow up in a home where the father is an unbeliever and the mother is a believer? Where one is Jewish and the other is Greek? Here's a boy who has been torn between Greek culture and Jewish culture. Help me to understand, how does he make the choice? What caused him to not follow his father and follow his mother? All I'm trying to show you is teaching made all the difference. And I'm simply saying to us, Timothy's name, who means to be one who honors God. And that's one thing that his mother made sure that she named him. Well, you say, how do you know that, Brother Gibbs? Because if his name means honoring God, and his father was a Greek, father didn't even know God. So his mother had to name him. Well, you don't agree with that, I could tell. What I like about it is this. Let me read this to you. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. I want you to watch this because I think that this helps to show you that teaching is so important. Oh, it's so important. And I'm asking us all to recommit ourselves to the study of the Word of God, to the teaching of the Word of God. And let's make the grade. And don't cop out saying, well, you don't understand the culture we live in. No, all of these men that I have shared with you come out of a culture. But yet and still, they made a significant difference. They were able to make something of themselves in honoring God. And that's what we're going to have to ask. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14, watch this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast what? That thou hast what? And hath been what? What's the next word? What's the next word? No, wait, wait, wait. I just want that word, what? Knowing. Of whom thou hast what? That thou hast what? And that from a child thou hast what? That thou hast what? That thou hast what? The what? So evidently his mother, it didn't matter about the father being Greek, being a Gentile. That mother made sure that boy was taught in the Word. I mean, from a little boy. I know your dad is probably an idolater, but I'm going to teach you. Thou hast from a child known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation. Through what? Faith, which is where? In Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or truly furnished unto all good works. I know we isolate that sometimes, but it's all in the context of Timothy. Timothy, stay strong with the Word of God. Stay strong in the Scripture. This is your background. This is how you got where you are. Don't ever put another discipline above the Word of Almighty God. Learn all the English you want. Learn all the Spanish you want. Learn all the mathematics that you want. But don't ever forget the Scripture. Scripture is far greater than that. You may educate your children, But if you haven't educated them in the Word of God, they're missing. Young people need to be in Bible study. They need to be nourished at the feet of mother and father. And if there's not a mother and a father, then maybe there's an uncle. Maybe there's an aunt. Maybe there's a grandfather or grandmother. But we're going to have to get back to the point of how do we save our young people? How do we keep them from being shot? How do we keep them from? Oh, I wish I had time. I just believe God in them is the answer. I believe the teaching of the Word of God makes the difference. And he gave that commission to the church. The church is God's teaching institution. And we got to get real serious about our education department. Our teachers have to take it serious. And we cannot have 60 people with their knowing their lessons and 30 of them are the teachers. Well, y'all don't look right. But that's I believe you are all right. I believe you're all right. Maybe I'm coming across too strongly. I said maybe. But I know I'm right. God is God is God, and God is expecting greater things from the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. And I want you to be here next week. I want you to be here this quarter. And I want us to raise our attendance. Oh, God, the leadership wants to see us really dedicate ourselves to the Sunday school, to the Wednesday night Bible classes. I know that it's a sacrifice to get off work and try to make it here. But we make it to the ball games. We make it to the theater. We make it everywhere else. Come on, let's make it. Make a sacrifice. And when we come, we're not going to waste your time. We're going to really make it count. That's what I see. I want to share one more passage with Timothy, and then I am through. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5. And I want to read through verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is where? Which dwelt first in your what? And your mother whom? I am persuaded it is in you what? Therefore I remind you to do what? Stir up the gift of God, which is where? In you, through the laying on of my hands. This is the verse that I really want to get to. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? You want to know what the Word of God will do? It'll keep you from being fearful. It'll give you a spirit of what? And what else? And what else? I pray, God, that we take this quarter seriously. Let's examine ourselves. Let's recommit ourselves. We want to be a people who are not fearful of where we are in this century. We want to be a people who allow God to empower us. We live in a world that needs love. And we live in a world where people need to have a sound mind. I know that this comes through education, religious education. Abraham made it. Moses made it. Timothy made it. I believe you and I will make it. But we got to stay dedicated to the teaching, the learning of the Word of God. This will make us strong. This will make us successful, and this church will glorify God in what God has called us to be. If you're here this morning and you really have not been a part of a movement and a part of something that's really going to make a difference in the world in which we live, I'm asking you to become a part of our program, God's program, Christ's movement, doing what God has asked us to do, and this will make a difference in your life as well as in the life and in the environment in which we live. Let's make a difference. Let's give ourselves to Christ. He asked us to come to him. He asked us to learn of him. He asked us to be a part of him. You become a part of him by hearing his gospel. You cannot trust him until you've heard from him. And when you hear from him, trust him. This becomes the gospel of your salvation. When you do that, I'm telling you, he will cleanse you from your past sins. He will infuse you with his spirit. And he will allow his blood to keep on cleansing you from all of your future sins. You want that kind of commitment? He said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. You want a personal savior? You want a personal guide? You want a personal empowerment? And this is the movement that you need to be a part of. You need to be a part of the Christian movement where God makes a difference in the world in which we live. I ask you to do that. If you're not a Christian, you hear that, believe it, repent of your sin, confess Christ to be the Son of God, go down with him in the water of grave of baptism. Baptism is for the remission of sin, but it's the same process that puts you into the fellowship of Christ. If you strayed from it, will you rededicate yourself? Will you come back? Let's stop fighting against God. You can't fight against God. Your arms are too short to fight against God. Best thing for you to do is just go ahead and come out with your hands up and say, Lord, I surrender all. I pray that that's what you'll do. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Call him up and tell Jesus what the problem is. Call him up, he will lend you an ear. Just call him up,
he will
cast away your doubts and fears.
Stop
hesitating. I know God is waiting. So call him up in prayer.